The reading this morning is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. This can be found on page 172 in the Pew Bibles. Deuteronomy, chapter 30, reading from verses 1 to 10. Repentance and forgiveness. And when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord has driven you, and return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey his voice in all that I command you today, with all your heart and with all your soul, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you. And he will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. If your outcasts are in the uttermost parts of heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will take you. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land that your fathers possessed, that you may possess it. And he will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. And the Lord your God will put all these curses on your foes and enemies who persecuted you, and you shall again obey the voice of the Lord and keep all his commandments that I command you today. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your womb, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your ground. For the Lord will again take delight in prospering you, as he took delight in your fathers, when you obey the voice of the Lord your God, to keep his commandments and statutes that are written in this book of the law. When you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. The Lord bless this reading from his holy word. Amen.
Let's share our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We are regularly surrounded by lots of words. Our world seems to have got increasingly noisy. And with 24-hour news and the internet and one thing and another, there are words everywhere. And sometimes we get to thinking that they're just words. People are just speaking. They're making a noise. They neither mean what they say nor intend to do what they say. And we've grown suspicious of words. But if words are added together with actions, if the way someone lives and the things they do and the choices they make agree with, back up and support the words which they speak, then we notice, then we are impressed by someone's words when their life and their deeds and their actions back up and support what they do. That's the challenge which these verses in Deuteronomy put before us today. This week we are continuing to read through this book of Deuteronomy, continuing to hear these words which God would speak to us. We come to chapter 30. We're going to hear from chapter 30 in two parts. First of all, this week, and then again on Communion Sunday at the end of the month. As we can see, from our outline of Deuteronomy, chapter 30 takes us to the bit at the end. Now choose. All the details of the new relationship which God longs to have with us have been explained and worked out in chapters 12 to 26. The Lord's command is, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the command. All the other rules and statutes and regulations are just filling in the details of what it means to love God and to love one another. The blessings and curses section we see there, that's chapters 27 and 28 in Deuteronomy, record what will happen if we submit to God's word and obey him, or if we reject God's word and disobey him, if we choose to live or not live in this new relationship with God. It is the experience of being cursed, of having chosen not to live in a new relationship with God, that is the starting point for chapter 30. Deuteronomy is a book with a clear purpose. God speaks these words to you and me today with a clear and simple aim in mind. It's in chapter 30. One of the bits we didn't read earlier, down at verse 19, God says to his people, therefore, choose life. Now is the time to choose to live in this new relationship that God is making with us. That's the purpose of this book. In this book, God sets before us his gracious covenant, the new relationship of love which God longs to establish with each of us. And God's purpose is to call us, to invite us, to choose to live in that new relationship with him. Therefore, choose life. I cannot choose life for you. No one else can choose life for you. Only you can do this. Choosing life is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come, choose life today. Looking again at verse 1 in our reading, when all these things come upon you, the blessings and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among the nations where the Lord your God has driven you. Remember, the word of God which has been preached in Deuteronomy has been profaned by the Israel of God, rejected by them. Although a gracious relationship with God has been set before his people have turned their back on that relationship. This is not an old, old story. This is a story ever new, told every day in my life and yours. As we continue to reject this relationship with God, as we continue to live in rebellion against our God. But when we have done this, when we have rejected God, when we are living in a wilderness, in a desert place, without God and apparently without hope, there is still hope. That same word of God which we have rejected, that same word of God promises us new life together with God. That same word of God which announced judgment upon disobedience promises renewal if we return to God, restoration to God from the desert place. There is still hope for us, but our hope is only in that same word of God which we have despised and rejected. Return to the Lord your God, you and your children. Obey his voice in all that I command you today, with all your heart and with all your soul. Like a green tree growing in a desert is this promise of life if we would return to the Lord our God. Do you see this hope? Do you hear these words? Will you choose life? Will you return to the Lord your God? What does it mean for us to return to the Lord our God? Quite simply, it means to turn absolutely round, completely the other way. To stop going our way and to start going God's way. Here's verse 1 again. When all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among the nations where the Lord your God has driven you. In the desert of rejection, the people of God call to mind the word which God has spoken to them. They remember the words of grace and love which God has called out to them. Judgment is not outside the word of God, but is part of God's word to us. Having been judged because of our rejection of God, we are then to remember him and call to mind his gracious words of covenant and loving relationship with us. Remembering who God is, remembering what God has done, remembering what God has said is the key to our returning to the Lord. If we remember his grace and his love, do you not think we will be encouraged to come back to him? What about this table, which is here before us every single week when we gather for worship? What does it say on the front? This do in remembrance of me. The Lord Jesus knew full well that we would forget him, that we would reject the Lord and his word. And so he called us to remember. He gave us a meal of bread and wine to share together that we might remember him. Today, if you feel far away from God, if you feel separated from Jesus and his love, remember. Call to mind God's words of grace for you. God loves you. Remember and return. What about verse 2? Return to the Lord your God. You and your children obey his voice in all that I command you today with all your heart and with all your soul. Once you remember God and his love for you, don't remain in the desert. Don't remember God as something from your past, but continue where you are in your rejection of him. Return to the Lord your God. So many of us know exactly the right thing to do. There's a recipe when we're baking and it says put in 150 grams. Mary says use exact measurements. We all know this, but we take a wee handful and we'll put a wee bit of that in and a wee bit of this in, and we're surprised when it turns out wonky. We know that we should cross the road at the green man. We know that we should not write down the password for our computer things. We know that we should all take more exercise. Very often we know exactly what to do. We just don't do it. On its own, knowing what to do is not enough. Remembering God is only the first step. We need to change direction completely. Earlier this year, we were reading of the Apostle Paul. He was going in completely the wrong direction. He hated the Lord Jesus, and he was persecuting the church. When the Lord Jesus met Paul on that road to Damascus, it wasn't enough for Paul to learn about Jesus, to recognize that he was going in the wrong way. Paul actually had to change direction. Hate for Jesus had to become love. Persecution of the church had to become service in the church. When you're in a desert place, you have a choice. You can choose to stay in the wilderness, or you can choose to return to the Lord, to come once again into the loving presence of your gracious Father. Return to the Lord your God, you and your children. Obey his voice in all that I command you today. The life which we are called to choose is a life of obedience. A life in which we are to do all that the Lord our God says to us. We really don't like the idea of obedience. It sounds like doing what we're told, and we want to choose for ourselves. But what if? What if obedience to God was exactly the best thing that we could ever choose to do? You shall obey the voice of the Lord and keep all his commandments that I command you today. When we obey the voice of the Lord, we obey his commandments. And what are his commandments? Love God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Isn't that what we would choose? Isn't that the kind of community we would choose to live in? Where we would love a God who loves us first. A God who loves us so much that he gave his only son. That whoever chooses life might actually have that life. Wouldn't you choose to live like that? Wouldn't you like to live in a community where everyone loved their neighbor? Where you were loved by all your neighbors and you loved them in return? Wouldn't you choose to live there? That's what obedience to God is. Every time we hear the command to obey God, it is not burdensome to us. It is the best thing we could ever choose for ourselves. To live in a gracious, loving relationship with God and to live in shared love with one another. Why would you not choose this life? But perhaps you're thinking, I've done all this before. I've heard all these things. I've remembered who God is. I've really tried to change direction. I've really tried to obey God's word, but it never seems to work. Well, listen to the good news in these verses from Deuteronomy 30. Good news, which is just for you and me. Good news for people who've tried and find that it hasn't worked on their own. When God asks you to choose life, he promises faithfully to help you. Then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes. Verse 3. Like the father in that parable of Jesus, God comes rushing towards us to catch us up, to bring us home, to dress us in that new robe and give us the new sandals and the ring and welcome us back into his family, to restore us, to fellowship with him. We were hearing the story of Ruth earlier about Naomi, who lost everything. But she remembered the Lord. She returned to the land. And at the end of the story, Naomi sitting with a grandson on her knee. Have you turned away from God? Have you rejected him? We all have. But God longs to restore us all. God longs to renew you, to remake you in his own likeness and image. God could have abandoned all of us, but he graciously promises that he will work restoration in us when we return to him. Further on in verse 3, the Lord your God will restore your fortunes, have mercy on you. He will gather you from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. Remember the Lord Jesus speaking of himself as the good shepherd? He was the good shepherd because he would go out on the hills and search for the lost sheep. Wherever you find yourself, you are not too far away from Jesus. That he cannot find you. Wherever you think you are, God will come and look for you to gather you back to himself. In Deuteronomy 32, Moses sings a song of God and his love. He sings of God gathering his people. The Lord found the people in a desert land, in a howling waste of wilderness. He encircled him. He cared for him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. Like an eagle stirs up its nest that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them up. Do you hear the love song of God which is sung over you? You do not return to the Lord in your own strength. You've tried that and it didn't work. You know that to be true. But God himself gathers you. God himself brings you. He lifts you up. As though on eagle's wings, to carry you home to himself. The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. But there is good news. Verse 6, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart so that you will love the Lord your God. God is going to fix our hearts. Earlier in Deuteronomy 10, the Lord had called upon the people to circumcise their own hearts. But we know that we can't do that. We can't fix our hearts. We've tried to love God, we've tried to love our neighbor, and we find we keep failing. But God will work heart surgery upon us. God will transplant our heart. He will take away our cold heart of stone and give us a living heart, a loving heart. This is what baptism is all about. This is what God has already done for us in Jesus. God has fixed our heart. We should trust God. If he says he's going to do this, he's going to do it. We can return to God, and he will fix our hearts. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all the work of your hand, in the fruit of your womb, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your ground. The Lord your God will again take delight in you, in prospering you. I think this could be the hardest thing of all to believe. God loves you and delights in you. God loves you more than you will ever love him. God loves you more than you could ever imagine. God created you so that you would live together with him. Fellowship with you is God's deepest desire. For this he created all things. For this he sent Jesus to suffer and die, that we might live together with him. The life God invites you to choose is this life, a life lived at the epicenter of God's desire, the focus of God's love, the very center of God's heart. The life that God invites you to choose is the life that God desires for you, the life that God has promised you, the life for which God restores you, the life to which God gathers you, the life for which God fixes your heart. Therefore, choose this life. Therefore, return to the Lord your God. This is why the characteristic phrase of Jesus is, "Come to me, follow me." Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full," which is just another way of saying what Deuteronomy said. Return to the Lord your God. Today is a good day to return, a good day to come again to Jesus. Why not make today the day when you choose life, the day when you change direction, the day when you choose the Lord your God and commit yourself to him and trust the promises he makes you? Will you? Will you return to the Lord your God? Let's pray together. Father, in these quiet moments, we want to answer your question. Will you return to the Lord your God? Will you choose life? Yes, Lord, we want to choose life today. We want to come again to you. We want to live in your presence today and forever. Help us to turn our lives around and to go in your way. And help us to depend upon your promises and your work within us. Make us your own people. Bring us. Fix our hearts. Restore us to the center of your love. Hear our prayer, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.